character as a man to follow all the charming men in Helen's poems. And not Bluebeard, honest. Okay, thank you. And thanks, Paul, for asking us. It's great to be back in court. We've been before. We thought quite recently, it turns out it's 12 years ago. I've been around again. I bought this shirt, might be a bit much, but. I grew up with in a family of hoarders and scavengers, and every weekend was taken up with scrapyards and jumble sales. And so this is the last poem I wrote, apart from the terrible thing I wrote just before. And I don't think there's anything. Betamax for the young people in the audience was a failed video format that lost out to VHS. If you don't know what video formats are. And Top H's were like village halls, but a Christian kind of thing. So this is Saturday morning. That paving slab, the working week, squared away and set to rest. Leave them to their tea, their chronicle, the felt pen reek of circled ads. Their unencumbered men go, hung over in their dinted vans to village halls, Stock H's, or to, best of all, the tattered periphery of nowhere towns, their tidal wash of clearance sales. On puddle car parks they disembark in cardigans and arse-crack slacks, sucking teeth and blowing smoke, Jason and the Argonauts on Betamax. At their heels, dogs and mongrel kids with sticks, some their own, some found, scurried loose in reclamation yards, fidget-eyed and thin like bacon rind. A sugar cube fizzes in a polystyrene cup of tea. Teach your children only this. Rummage your fingers to the bone, hoard for pleasure, not some apocalypse. This is their philosophy. What else can life be but a craze of lacquered boxes and only so much pocket money? For trinkets, knickknacks, broken watches, a figurine, flawless like the Venus de Milo, but for badly glued on arms. 999 jigsaw pieces, on the lid a shepherd counts his lambs. Let no surface go uncluttered, let all drawers jam or spill, let cupboard doors refuse to close. Fill your heart and attic well, go there often, crawl a little closer to the stars. Memory creases, snags and unspools like a tossed C90 cassette. In the gloom, a discarded doll's acrylic eyeballs flicker in the torch's mordant beam. Know that in this solemn world, we're all worthy of being held. No, wait till the end. Oh, make your mind up either way. Okay. We're having an election again. So this is a little poem about how I'm writing these poems about political leaders, and I've brought three with me. I'm certainly doing this one. It's Harold Wilson, Rose Towards Bishop Rock. For those of you who don't know, he was Prime Minister, Labour Prime Minister between the mid-60s, took a break in the early 70s for Ted Heath, and then was there again. And he was a kind of brilliant Oxford scholar, but working class grammar school boy. And got Alzheimer's, which is nobody knew at the time why he kind of resigned midterm. And every year he went in his baggy shorts on holidays to Scilly Isles with his wife Mary. And this is kind of the end of his life, Harold Wilson. And there's this, off the Scilly Isles, is the Uber kind of lighthouse. It just comes out of the sea about 40 miles off the Scilly Isles. It's called Bishop Rock. And it's called Harold Wilson Rose Towards Bishop Rock. Harold knees like little moons, bends his back, puffs through the clamoring halyards of the bay, always six moves ahead of the other buggers, be them old Etonians or fellow grammar grubbers, nowhere else to escape serious concern but these silly isles. The cormorant is attentive company at the blunt end of the boat, kinked wings hung out to dry, Harold's words gulped down like slippery fish. The oars are worn soft in their locks. While he rows, he recalls himself a boy in a school cap at the steps of number 10. On the slipway, Mary diminishes to the red dot of her coat. The lighthouse lays down her path, tugs the glow of Gannex Mac and pipe smoke through the net curtain of mizzle. Mary turns, heads up the slope towards the archipelago's clustered lights and their ugly little bungalow. Okay, I'm going to do one from. I was 60 last year, which is horrifying. Can't quite believe it. And this poem, when we were growing up in the 60s, kids were all obsessed with the Second World War, all our games were kind of about that. Just thought might be, well, was really weird for our parents who lived through it, either fought in the war or were kids in the war. And there was a comic called Victor, and every week the cover story was a true story of men at war told as a comic strip. That's kind of about that, Victor. As fathers stroll home from work, there is no bird song and the November light is all but gone. Small boys run amok in avenues, take cover behind privet hedges, the smell of cordite heavy in the air. Over the traffic, the sound of battle, grenades whistling overhead, the sporadic rattle of toy guns from doorways. At tea time, those whose turn it is break cover, make a zigzagging run for it, shouting, Achtung, Achtung. They go down in a hail of bullets, competing for the most dramatic death. The pavement is so littered with Germans, the men must pick their way through to reach their gates and take their sons down paths into quiet houses. You have your skateboard.
Yes,
I was going to do something on that later. It's taken it away. You wouldn't believe what I had planned. Ruined. It's my big finish. Straight down the middle to the toilet. That was my plan. You just have to imagine it now. Okay, this next poem, I think Paul's going to show a film at the end, which it's based on, which is Julian Waring, the artist, which is a video piece called Two Into One, where she films two sons talking about their mother and films the mother talking about her sons, and then she kind of reverses and lip syncs, so the boy's words come from the mother and the mother's words come from the sort of the sons. And the father isn't given a voice, but he's very present in what's said. And so this is kind of a found poem. It's a specular, which is fancy. And so the first stanza sort of goes its way, and then the second stanza is a complete reversal line by line of the first one. So it kind of works its way back to the beginning. And this is in the mother's voice. Failure. He loves me, I suppose. I am a failure. There's a better way of doing things. I am a dramatic woman. I know I think too much of myself and I should be submissive, a proper wife. He's very caring, really. He says I like to be dominated. When he's jealous, he's abusive towards me. I'm afraid I won't grow old. I sometimes tell him that. He's beautiful looking, he will try and tell me about love, but hate is something he needs and I don't. He says I am a failure and I don't. He says I am a failure, but hate is something he needs. Try and tell me about love. He's beautiful looking, he will grow old. I sometimes tell him that he's abusive towards me. I'm afraid I won't be dominated when he's jealous. He's very caring, really. He says, I like to be submissive, a proper wife. I think too much of myself and I should. I am a dramatic woman. I know there's a better way of doing things. I suppose I am a failure. He loves me. I've tried to write more speculars, but they're damn tricky. I've even got a spreadsheet that does it. I like spreadsheets. If anyone wants it, give me their email and I'll send you. It does the second half for you, which you think would make it easier, but not necessarily. This is a New Year redux. My mum died when I was nine, so I never got to know her as an adult, and I kind of, that was a lost thing, that it was irretrievable loss. And there was a party two or three years ago, and sat on the floor in this room, and Helen is kind of, as you have seen, gloriously retro, and so are some of our friends, and I have a quit. And I suddenly had this thing that I was surrounded by my aunts and uncles, sat on the floor, and it had a complete sort of throwback to 40, 50 years ago, where I'd been allowed to stay up and be the first footer bringing good luck through the back door at midnight as a piece of coal. I just forgotten about this, never thought about it for 40 years, and it was kind of completely took me back there, and it was a great thing. And so this is New Year Redux, and it was a really foggy night, and all these beautiful women in party dresses kept coming through the front door out of the fog. It's great. New Year Redux. Each guest slips from fog and through the door like a softly lit movie star and casts adrift the new built houses opposite, the call centres, the inner ring road's constant hum. And this little room is warm and bright with party dresses and men with quits in baggy suits. And in the bedroom up above, where all the faux fur coats are chucked, the radio's clock flips back and back, and above the roof, above the fog, stars are streaks across the sky. And above all that, beehives glow like standard lamps, and Louis Prima swings, and jokes are spilt, and someone shouts, "Fetch me a blousy woman now," and his wife throws a scarf about his neck, kisses him loose upon the mouth, and from our mouths, "If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, 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 what a girl." And in the yard, fog is smoke and smoke is breath, and cigarettes are shooting stars, and through the misted windows blur is that my mother's gap-toothed grin, my aunts and uncles counting down, and is this me at the back door, a lump of coal gripped in my fist? Right. Family poem. Another one. This is a parody of Larkin's eulogy to his parents, which you might know. This be the verse, this be the worst. "They fuck you up, your kids. They may not mean to, but they do. They take all the faults you have and throw them back twice as hard at you. But they will fuck up in their turn in fashionable clothes that look good now. But in years to come, in a photograph album, will return to shame and haunt them. Children return lovers' guilt to parents that deepens like crap on a bedroom floor. Move them on as early as you can and don't ever try for any more." A bit of profanity, that's what you've been waiting for. So, this is a poem about one of my children now. Two children, this is my favourite child. We all have favourites, if you've got more than one. And Amy's Down syndrome, which is a wonderful gift, and so it has an advantage. And Sean, my son, said this to me once, which is why he doesn't get any nice poems about him. He came in from school when he was about 14. I said, "So, what did you do at school today?" "Well," I said to him, "do you know any words with more than one syllable?" And he just looked me in the eye and went, "Wanker." And that's why he has no nice poems like this one. If I said that to my parents, I'd been on my back. I just, unbelievable. So, anyway. Amy's wonderful and much better than Sean, and does great things like runs up to people in supermarkets and shouts pie at them, and does what the hell she likes. And she's had a serious relationship since she was a tot with cartoon characters, largely, well, entirely. And that's about 5 or 6 years, and it's kind of all she thinks about. She takes their name as their own, wants to dress like them. But recently, she's taken a liking to Charlie from Casualty. Do you have Casualty over here? The hospital soap. It's been going on for 400 years. And she loves it. But mostly it's been cartoons. This is Amy's lovers. "It's not enough to love them. She must climb into their skins and wear them like pajamas. It's Fireman Sam just now, has been for a couple of years. She wanders that pyromaniacal valley town with matches in her backpack. She'll smoke out the hero inside herself, hit rewind again and again. Can't get enough of his tune or his merchandise. It is as if Springfield never happened until 6 p.m. when she turns Sam off for Channel 4, taps her fingertips together, and is Mr. Charles Montgomery Burns. She has his shaky walk down pat, mimics his villainous laugh while Sam pretends to polish his axe. He knows it's not the last Lothario though, but the next. Some bright new kid, all pixels on the big screen at the multiplex. A cheap toy with her Big Mac. Then it's shopping for DVDs, utility belts and action figures, and his heart's a stone. While out west, Woody tips back his hat. squint through the haze of all the years since Shaggy turned up in his mystery machine and she began to dress in brown and green, left her sheriff badge to tarnish. But Woody was first and bides his time. Toy Stories 2 and 3 went by, but he's pretty sure when 4 comes out, she'll mosey on into town in a cowskin waistcoat, shout, "Yee-haw, Woody," as though she's never been gone. Right, I've got 5 minutes left, because I kept an eye on the time. So we've got a washing machine, or we've got, we come to the Prime Minister, you can have Blair or Miliband's.
Blair,
and then there'll be one more after that. So, like me, you must have wondered how Tony Blair sleeps at night. He's got one of these hypnosis tapes by his bed, a little old tape machine that he puts on. I wish I managed to get hold of a copy. And this is what he plays when he turns the lights out. Tony Blair's, has anyone listened to these sleep apps and stuff?
No.
They're exactly like this, some of the language. And kind of ruins it if no one's heard it, but no, it'll be all right. If it's really good, you'll all be asleep by the time I finish the poem. That's the secret of success, okay. Tony, hypnosis comes from the Greek to sleep, and is an ideal way to strengthen your mind. Never listen to this recording during activities that require full attention, such as sugarcraft or warmongering. Tony, like weapons of mass destruction, sleep can sometimes be elusive. Are you often woken by contradictory voices between 2 and 5 a.m.? Does your heart pound? If so, imagine your ribcage to be a place of safety and restraint. Think of slowness, lava flow, snails, inquiries. Think of the benign and beautiful, a Welsh scientist with a kind beard, a forest glade, a silver penknife glinting in the grass, the sudden illumination of a night sky, the warm sand of a Caribbean bay, the colour orange. Tony, no one else can touch your mind. Scrunch up your eyes as if you have witnessed something awful. Think of anything that does not serve you as hydrogen balloons and release them. Tony, now smile broadly as if for a phalanx of cameras. Hold this to the point just before you think ordinary people might shudder. The brain can be coaxed into deep sleep frequency with carefully chosen sounds. You can select from the melt of granita, the rattle of Islington cutlery, water pouring over a cloth-covered face, the muffled crump of distant ordnance, a rendition of desert night songs, D-Ream. The more you listen, Tony, the easier sleep will come. Any discomfort will soon be over, and you will remember, you will experience increased relaxation. Remember something you are grateful for. It could be a special person, a pet dog, or one of your houses. Imagine yourself to be rocking back and forth, back and forth. Gather your voice and cloak of faith. Let a peaceful heaviness settle into your bones. I am an island. I am reason. I am pure. Imagine a gold coin on your palm. Make a fist. Feel yourself letting go. Now is the time. Feel your conscience drift slowly away like a cloud or pall of smoke. Back and forth, back and forth. Enable the do not disturb function. Slow, deep, easy breathing now. Take your mind into your body. Lie in a comfortable position. I am an island. I am reason. I am pure. Sleep, sleep, sleep. Thank you. Right, so last poem. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Greg, thank you. So Allen Ginsberg wrote a poem that was published first in 1956 that sort of defined him and the whole beat poet generation, San Francisco, New York, the Sellers, the Drugs, and all of that. I'll keep introducing while this man's been out of me.
Do you?
And so I thought, it's a shame that no one did the same for the northwest of England at the same period. And so I have Ginsberg called his poem Howl, mine's called I saw the best suits of my parents' generation destroyed by poor tailoring synthetic fibres and hysterical lapels, dragging their shopping down the high streets of Albion in Packamax with airdos under air nets and headscarves, Brill cream bedded husbands burning pipe tobacco in walnut bowls and inhaling through the clenched teeth of repressed ardour, who feared the windrush down the negro streets of Victoriana, blowing the sounds and smells that threatened the unfamiliar and didn't even know Elvis Presley existed yet, who got drunk on homemade egg flip at Christmas and sang the old songs round the piano while the kids were happy with a tangerine or dinky toy, who saved so that one day they might have a little car and be saluted by the AA man as they drove by, who were all the time boiling vegetables to eat with Spam while listening to the radio Grand Valve singing hot with family favourites, and after Sprouts there was much binding in the marsh in the until Billy Cotton cried out wakey wakey and bandstand glowed out in the deathly grey of cathode rays, who on Fridays went dancing up the club in sixpence a week Montague Burton suits and crammed into 18-hour girdles and mail order dresses with their blue hair piled on top, but just too soon to have ever been teenagers, who tripped out to Skegness Vipto fueled in charabans to shine under Billy Butland's neon. Our true intent is all for your delight, while being served brown ale by lasses from Doncaster in grass skirts under plastic palm trees in the Beachcomber bar, who never used their front room but kept it pure in the anti-macassars press, the visits by doctors or vicars or teachers for tin salmon, tin pears and tin milk, and always polished their front steps and never ran out of string, who knew their place and never thought the universities were for the likes of them but prayed for office jobs for their children and stood for God Save the Queen at the Empire and said how wonderful their policemen were and fought in the war for the likes of me, who had more words for toilet than Inuit had for snow and put their teeth in jars and slept in their best under candlewick counterpanes with dreams of winning the pools and bungalows in Cheshire with inside loos and labour saving devices, who at dawn trod into brown slippers onto cold brown linoleum and could only face the day through the sweet brown haze of 100 cups of tea and 20 caps and full strength. Thanks very much.